The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me briefly review. We talked about trusting the Lord, even when you don't see Him working. We covered a little background from the book of Esther, where God's name is not mentioned in that book, but yet He was mightily at work there. Amen. And He wanted to encourage us to trust Him when we don't see anything on the outside. When we don't see Him working in our lives, when we're going through trials, sometimes you don't see God working. And He was encouraging us to trust Him when we don't see that He is still working in the background. He's working on our behalf because He loves us so much. Every hair on our head is numbered. Now, you know if every hair on your head has a number, how much God loves you.
Amen.
He cares more for you than you care for yourself. He cares more for your children than you care for them. He cares more for your family members and friends and those loved ones that you would like to see born again or healed or delivered. He cares more than you do.
Amen.
He wants to see it too. I thank God that He uses us and lets us be a part of that. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I touched on one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness, which is lying about someone, anyone, lying, telling a lie on someone, and it's deception. And how God Himself, if He's the one that made that commandment, then how in the world could He ever lie? If He did, He would break His own commandment and He wouldn't be God, would He? Even if He could lie, the Bible says He can't. But even if He could, if He did, He wouldn't be God. And He's the one that made that commandment. So how much more is He going to be true to His word? You know, in this country and in this day and age, and in all democratic countries, we are not as aware of authority as maybe some countries that have dictatorships or kings. And we're not as aware of covenants and what they mean in this day and age. And I wanted to briefly, the Lord has just revealed so much to me this week. I've got so much to say, I don't know what to say. Help me, Jesus. We've got to realize how important covenant is. We need to get a grasp on that. And covenant, when you have a covenant, you have a covenant head. You know, God first made a covenant with Abraham. Well, He made a covenant with Noah, actually, before that. You know, with the rainbow and everything. But He made a blood covenant with Abraham. And Abraham, then, was the covenant head. All of Abraham's children, grandchildren, on down the line were under that covenant. That covenant had effect on everyone on down the line. Now, Jesus is our covenant head. God made a covenant with Jesus. He only made a covenant with us through Jesus. He made the covenant with Jesus because Jesus is the only one worthy to make a covenant with God. He gave His own blood instead of the blood of animals. But God made the covenant with Jesus, and Jesus is our covenant head. Which means whatever the covenant head has belongs to the children under that covenant head. Everything that belonged to the covenant head belongs to the children. Now we know that, we've heard that we are joint heirs, that we have the same inheritance as the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to keep hearing it until it gets so deep in us that anything coming against that, anything that's contrary to that would just have a hard time coming into our brains and coming into our lives. You know, somebody asked me the other day, why is it so hard to memorize the Word, and why do you always fall asleep when you pray? And I guess we all have trouble with that at one time or another. The reason is because the world is under a system. And as long as you flow with that system, everything is easy. It's like floating downstream. It's easy. And the current pushes you right along. So as long as you are in the world, or even if you're a Christian and you're functioning according to the world's ways, it's easier. But when you begin to turn against that, then you're in opposition to the whole world. That's why it's harder, because you've got opposition coming against you. So you have to make a more diligent effort. You can't be lazy in the kingdom of God, or you'll just go backwards. You'll start floating on downstream. You have to stand against the opposition, the world's ways of doing things. Now listen, we are in heavenly places, the Bible says. We are in the kingdom of God. As we get our minds more and more renewed to that through the Word, that's what renews our minds. As our minds become renewed and we start thinking the way the kingdom operates, the more and more you think the way the kingdom operates, listen to this, this is good news. Then when something of the world system comes against you, it'll become hard for that to come against you. See, when you first start out, it's hard for you to make a stand on the Word. You know, you got forces coming against you. But the more and more that you practice standing on the Word and exercise your faith little by little by little by little, it grows to a giant tree. And then when something comes against you, it becomes harder for that thing than it is for the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom of God works. That's good news. So you can get to a point where it would be hard to walk in the flesh. Isn't that good news? You can get so renewed and so walking in the glory in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of God now if you've been born again. You're in it right now. The Bible says so. You've been raised together with Him to sit in heavenly places. You are in heavenly places now. But the mind is the thing. And the Word is the only way to get your mind changed where it doesn't think anymore the way it used to think, the way flesh thinks, the way the natural man, the way what you used to be. You're not natural anymore. You're supernatural.
Amen.
And the more you get your mind renewed to that, that will fall away. And it'll become easier and easier to walk in the kingdom.
Amen.
That is good news. Because in the kingdom of heaven, there is no pain. You know, the Bible says in heaven, there's no pain. So if it were possible in heaven for something evil to get in, now it's not, by the Word, it's not. But if it were possible for something evil to get in, it would have an awful hard time, wouldn't it? Because it would be opposed to the system of things. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a system of the world, and there's a system of the kingdom. They're not the same. The system of the world operates by the carnal mind, by flesh, by the natural laws. You know, if you get a germ, you'll get sick and that kind of thing, and your body becomes older and that kind of thing. That's all according to the natural system. All those things are according to the natural system. But we are not in the natural system. I didn't even know I was going to say this today. I've got all these other notes, but praise the Lord. We're not in that system, so we have to learn little by little to stop thinking according to that system. If you continue to think according to that system, you'll continue to operate that way. And you'll say, well, I got a headache. I guess I'm getting a cold. Because that's the way that natural system works. But if you get more and more renewed to the Word, it'll be harder for you to think that way.
Amen.
You'll say, oh, I'm getting, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. See, Amen. You'll more and more, it'll get easier, not harder, easier as you press in and press along. Now, the Lord is showing us how to live on a daily basis. Not just to come in here and have a great time in the Lord on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and all through the week. To come into the house of God. This is the assembly. We have the corporate anointing. But He wants us to live victoriously every day. All the time. All the time. But you have to grow into it. But He's trying to teach us. And you see, a lot of people, they hear all these great things. And they say, well, you know, they're the minister. They, you know, isn't it wonderful how they live? Isn't it wonderful how our pastor just has such great strength? But you can have it too.
Amen.
If you learn what she has learned through the years and through trials coming against her and through standing on the Word.
Amen.
It takes practice.
Glory
it's
God.
Not easy. You have to discipline yourself to do it. And I'm telling you, it's hard because the opposition will come. But if you will exercise it, if you will take the opportunity. Paul said, I glory in my weaknesses, not because of the weaknesses. Let's don't stop there. But he said, because in my weaknesses, you are made strong.
Amen.
So what he was saying there is that when a weakness came or when opposition came, he took the opportunity to allow God to be strong in him. Now, if you continue to concentrate on your weakness and just say, well, Lord, you're trying to teach me something, you know, thank you for, you know, and you're, no. You don't glory in your weakness without the reason. It's not just glorying in a weakness, because weaknesses aren't from God. So how could we glory in that? But it's because in our weakness, He is made strong. So if when you have opposition, if when you're weak in an area, or if when you're having trouble in an area, or if when you're in a trial in an area, you will take it as an opportunity to let Him be strong, and you'll say, I trust you, Lord. Oh, I use this verse so many times. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. You've started it. You will complete it. I trust you. I know you're doing something good. You're working this good for me. Just, and you take it as an opportunity to trust the Lord and to stand on the Word. Little by little by little. You must exercise. You know, you can't just allow someone else to feed you all the time. It's fine for a baby to be, you know, fed. You've got to feed a baby. They can't do it themselves. And then after they, you know, are able to pick something up, if you give them the spoon and the baby food, now, you know, not to do that, right? Your kitchen is going to be a disaster because they're going to throw it all over the place. They don't know how. So you have to feed them. When you're a baby Christian, it's the same thing. You must get in a church where you can hear the Word to grow. But now, you know, if you saw me feeding my boys at their age, something's wrong. They're either, physically handicapped or some sort of handicap or, you know, it just wouldn't be right, would it? It's not right. You say, what's wrong there? That's wrong. It's the same in the kingdom of God. You have to learn to feed yourself. Every day, you have to learn to grow up and feed yourself and not just depend on others all the time. Now, Jesus, you know, we have no need that anyone teach us. You don't need me to teach you because He's teaching you through my mouth. It's not me teaching you. It's Him. But He can do the same through you. When you get in the Word, He can give you revelation. He can teach you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Amen.
And that's how we grow up to where we can walk on our own, walk in the power of the Lord that He wants us to walk in. But you've got to exercise. You've got to feed yourself a little bit. You've got to determine yourself, I'm going to stand on the Word. And when you do, opposition will come against you. And that's your opportunity to dig your heels in and say, I am going to stand on the Word. What if you don't get it? What if you just go ahead and die and you don't get what you're standing for? Well, when you get to heaven, and wouldn't the Lord be more pleased that you were standing on it? But you will get it because He's faithful. He's faithful to what He said. In Genesis 1, God said 10 times, and God said, and it was. God said, and it was. See, a king, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. We're used to that. We're not really used to, in this country, we're not used to having much authority over us. We have a lot of freedom, a lot of liberty. Thank God for it. We should thank Him for it every day, and we should pray for those that don't. But we have freedom to carry our Bibles and still to talk about the Lord, and should exercise that freedom and be grateful for it. But we don't have much authority over us. So we don't really understand authority very well. And especially in the modern day churches, non-denominational and charismatic and churches like that, you know, like we are. And I'm thankful for it that we're open. It's non-denominational. But, you know, we're in a day where we don't have a lot of authority. You know, we have to learn to walk by the Spirit ourselves. We don't have somebody. Now, in other churches, there's more authority. And sometimes we condemn that, but there's benefits sometimes in that. God has an order to things. But, you know, like in the Catholic Church, they have authority. There's authority there, and it's respected. And sometimes it grieves my heart that authority is not as respected as it should be. God puts people in authority. God does it. Male, female, He doesn't care. There's no male and female in Christ. God puts people in positions of authority, and we are to respect and honor that position. There's great responsibility that goes with that authority, which most people have no idea about. But when you listen to your pastor or someone that God has put in authority, they have a great responsibility for you. Amen. More than you realize. And that's mothers and fathers, back to the covenant a little bit, I wanted to say this. Mothers and fathers are the head of the covenant. They are responsible for standing on the covenant, for believing for the covenant. Their children will either suffer or prosper depending on what they do, because the anointing flows down from the head.
Amen.
And they have to watch out for the wolves. They have to be diligent to do that. And these households where people say, well, I can't get my kids to do anything. Excuse me? There's something wrong about the authority there. But God ordained authority. But anyway, let's get back to His Word. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. Just by Him decreeing it out of His mouth, it came into manifestation from nothing. We are created in His image. He gave us dominion, which, you know, Adam lost, but Jesus bought it back. So we have that authority. The Word will only work for you if you believe it and speak it. If you speak it without believing it, there's no substance there. You know, you may speak something on someone or pray something for someone, and there won't be any substance to it. It won't happen because it's just your words. Nevertheless, our words are important because faith comes by hearing the Word. So even if you don't believe it, if you continue to speak it out of your mouth, it'll go into your heart and you'll start believing it. And eventually, the seed then will take root and link up with that faith. And faith gives it substance. Faith gives your words substance. So if you keep speaking the Word of God, whether you see anything or whether you don't, if you will keep speaking it, keep speaking it. You know, and the enemy will say, it's not doing one bit of good. It's not doing one bit of good. You might as well just give up. And all kinds of things like that. We all know anything that opposes the word is from the enemy. But he will try his best to get you to give up. He'll try his best to get you off the word. Because it's the word that brings the manifestation. Because God is the creator. What does the creator do? Creates. He brings things into manifestation. How? He did it by speaking. And he cannot bring something in your life into manifestation if you don't use your mouth and speak his word and agree with him. But as you speak his word, even if you don't believe it at first, it'll be a seed, because his word is the incorruptible seed. His word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word, it does not return void, but you have to speak it. You have to speak it. As long as, you know, the word is your sword. As long as you leave that sword in its sheath, it won't do you any good. And the enemy will just keep beating on you, beating on you. You may stand for a while. If you've got your shield of faith, you'll stand, but you won't make progress. You may just stand. Sometimes that's all you can do. But to make progress, you have to get on the offensive. You have to oppose the opposition. You know, I've heard people say that, and I've said it myself, that when you begin to go into the enemy's territory, and the Lord last week said, excuse me, what territory? Nothing belongs to him. I paid the price with my blood. It's not his territory. He's trespassing. You're not going into the enemy's territory. You're going into your own territory. Your children belong to the kingdom of God. Your family belongs to the kingdom of God. And anyone else the Lord lays on your heart to pray for. It's your territory. He wants you to take it. It's not the enemy's territory. But you've got to use that sword. You've got to go into battle. And the sword is the word. And the Lord has provided for everything. Salvation of your entire household, it's provided for. Healing for your body, strength, divine health, it's provided for. It was, as a matter of fact, it was provided for with salvation. Same package. People say, well, you know, if it's God's will. Well, they might as well say, if it's God's will to save someone. But they'd argue with you on that. They'd say, well, of course it's his will to save people. He said he's not willing that any perish. Of course it's his will to pray for someone's salvation. Then, of course, it's his will to heal. Because in Isaiah 53 and other places in the Bible, when you got salvation, you got healing. Same time Jesus took the stripes on his back and then went to the cross. Actually, you got your healing first. That's why sometimes unbelievers get healed by the mercy of God. Jesus took the stripes on his back the same time he purchased, same day that he purchased your salvation. But anyway, I'm getting off the track. The Lord wants us to realize the authority of his word. He is the king. When a king decrees something, there's no doubt about it. It's irrefutable. It's irrevocable. So if you agree with the king, and you always should because you're in the kingdom if you're born again, you can agree with his word. He gave us that privilege to be able to speak his word and bring things into being, into manifestation by speaking. You start out just simply, and then you'll have the opposition come. You keep on saying it. Maybe you don't even believe it. That doesn't make it any the less true, whether you believe. Well, the world doesn't believe it either. Does that make God's word? Does that make God a liar? Yes. If the whole world didn't believe, would that make him a liar? Absolutely not. So whether you believe it or not, really, you know, doesn't matter. I determined myself I was going to say the word and stand on the word whether I believed it or not.
Amen.
Because it's God's word. He likes that kind of faith. That kind of walking on the water type faith. just going ahead, whether you believe it or not. Because your mind will fight you. The enemy, that's where the battleground is. He'll come against your mind to fight the Word. But if you keep on saying it, it'll eventually link up with the faith. Four times in the Bible, the Lord says, the just shall live by faith. Faith is a way of life that pleases God. And it would do us well to remember that daily. What's not of faith is sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith is a way of life that pleases God. You must operate in faith, understand, or you will not be pleasing God. Now, you believe in God. He's unseen. That's the hardest thing right there. But you cannot really believe that God is real unless you believe His Word. Because someone is the same as their word.